It's about 8 minutes past the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined in the line by Eugene Robinson, who's the color commentator for the Carolina Panthers, also spent 16 years as a defender in the NFL. Good morning, Eugene. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. How you doing? Good morning.
Well, doing well. Are you a little bit weary, I would imagine, from yesterday's game? There was quite a bit that happened there, including, and we'll play the clip here, of a pretty historic moment at the end where your Carolina Panthers came through. Logan, let's play that.
Ball is placed down. Gano from 63 yards out. It is good!
Now, Eugene, I covered the Minnesota Timberwolves for about 10 years, and I found myself having to remain as dispassionate as possible, even though I was a fan of the Timberwolves. Did you at least celebrate a little bit in the booth yesterday when that was going on?
Oh, man, absolutely. I mean, we were going crazy in the booth. There was no doubt because, first of all, it's almost improbable a little bit. You look at a 63-yard field goal at that time, you go, oh, yeah, you know you can do it. You know you can do it in practice. But during the game is a different story. And the way that the New York Giants have fought back to get into that game and to take the lead with like a minute left in the game, it was astounding. And then to have us get close in position, I was hoping for a 52-yard field goal, a 53-yard field goal, but not a 63 because I'm like, man, last time I've seen that was back in the day when I was a kid, and I think it was Dempsey who kicked it. And so from that standpoint, I'm going, man, this is almost improbable, but this would be a great win if we were able to accomplish that. And when it started to fade back inside, I'm like, hold up, I think he has this. He has it in his distance. I think he has the angle. And the bowl inside Bank of America Stadium erupted. I mean, it was loud. It was boisterous. It was chaotic. It was noise. It was appropriate and fitting for a wonderful end for the Carolina Panthers. And so it was indeed a historic event, and Graham Gano in Graham Gano fashion raises his hand up to the Lord and thanks God. That's what he's been doing all year long. So, I mean, it was a great win for us. And as a commentator and as a fan of football, I got to be a part of something that was historic.
Well, it was sure fun to watch. I have to admit that when I watched the highlights, I got chills just at the bedlam erupting in the stadium there. Wait, you know, was there part of you during the game when the Giants were coming back, you thought, you know, I could strap on the gear again and get back out there and shut down Beckham Jr.? I mean, they've got to stop the Giants, you know, attack at some point.
Odell Beckham Jr., I tell you what, ODB was he was sensational. I mean, you got to be able to limit what he does, but you're not going to really stop him. And there were a couple of double move routes, and particularly towards the end of the game where he gets behind the secondary and corrals in for a Heath touchdown. He was sensational, but he wasn't the only person that you had to stop, because don't forget the offensive line is still blocking, and they did a really good job of protecting Eli Manning after coming into that game giving up 15 sacks. And so I thought the offensive line had a lot to prove, and by giving Eli Manning some time, and Eli Manning was able to really connect in some big ways. Fortunately for us, it turned out with the Graham Gano, it turned out in our favor, but that game could easily swung in the balance because the Giants did an awesome job of coming back and getting back in the game.
It's Eugene Robinson, who's the color commentator of the Carolina Panthers. And Eugene, I appreciate you coming on this morning. This is part of some of our news segment that has to do with faith and sports and just the intersection of the two. And before we get into some of the topics on fatherlessness, I know that as I'm sort of walking around in circles with young families and their kids are getting involved with football, that there's been increasing headlines about the potential danger of concussions. And maybe a generation ago it was just getting your bell rung and heading back into the field. Give us some sense of sort of the insider view of how significant the concussion issue might be, or is it being overplayed, or what is your take on this, Eugene?
Well, when I started playing back in 1985, you mentioned about getting your bell rung, and then you would get some smelling salts, and then you would get right back in the game. But no longer is that the protocol. The NFL has really made a concerted effort to really try to minimize it with the hits, because I remember back in the day, I could target you. I could hit you right in the face with my helmet back in the day. And now you can't. You can't even do that on a defensive receiver or a player at any time where you can hit a guy with the shoulder, even when you're going for a legal hit. Even some of the hits I've seen today where I would say, hey, that's the kind of a legal hit. They've been called questionable hits where they've been flagged. And all of the effort to really minimize and to mitigate this thing of concussions, because they don't want concussions to lead to CTE, which a lot of some of the older players are experiencing. The only thing you get to know about it is when they died, they had CTE. Mm. And so from that standpoint, the NFL has this big concerted effort to go ahead and see what they can do to mitigate, minimize what they can, and to improve player safety. I applaud them for that. I mean, I definitely applaud them for that, because I see that the game has turned away from a lot of the hits that I was accustomed to. I mean, I can hit you in the face. Back in the day, I can hit you in the face. And what are you going to do about it legally? But I could do that. Now, no longer. And I think rightfully so, because if you want to preserve the game, if you want to keep what we've got, some semblance of what football is, you better be able to address this issue of concussions. Now, you're not going to be able to stop them all, but if you show a concerted effort to minimize that, at least you get to stay in the ball game. Because here it is, moms and dads are not going to let little junior play ball if it's at risk for their life, is at risk for something else. And so you got to be able to address that. And so I think the NFL has been able to address that. And going forward, you see that trickling down, going from the college and the high school and hopefully into Pee Wee sports that we do some. I love the game of football, so I'm a proponent of football. And I love the game of football. I've had maybe 3 concussions in my career. I played 16 years. And I'm talking about my career through college and high school, college, and pro. I had 3 out of all that, from high school, college, and pro. And that's a lot of football, but I think that's 3 too many. And so hopefully we can minimize that, and I think the NFL's taking steps to get that done. And so we'll see as it moves forward.
Well, and I think it's important to not deter our young people to get into the game of football. And we have about a minute before a break. Eugene, I'd be curious your take in terms of what you've learned as a person of character, as a person of faith. What kind of lessons can be derived if we do have our young kids in football? I mean, there's really teamwork, there's character, there's diligence, there's perseverance. What would you say is one of your main takeaways from being a football player and how it can impact our sense of faith?
Oh, I always say, well, look, you got to obey the rules, man. Romans 13 is really explicit. I mean, it's really explicit about you obeying the rules and obeying your governing authority. And you have to do that, because there's oftentimes in a football game, there's oftentimes when you want to go ahead and do your own thing because somebody did you wrong in the game and you want to go ahead and take revenge. I'm a high school coach. I saw it with a couple of my guys the other day in a high school football game where a guy started hitting a guy and he started cursing at one of my players, and he wanted to take revenge. And I had to remind him, I said, hey, dude, it's the easiest thing is to do that because you feel that you've been assaulted and you feel that you've been wrong. I said, the hardest thing right now is to obey the government authorities and to not do what your impulse is telling you you're going to do. If I can give you anything of pause, is, hey, think about what you're about to do right now. I said, and not do it. Think about that. I said, because I'm going to tell you as your coach, I said, hey, man, play the game the right way. And don't get into that banter. Don't get into no fisticuffs. I said, I need you to do that. And so from that standpoint, football will test you. It will test your moral fiber. It will test your constitution, because there's plenty of times when you want to take matters into your own hands. And I'm telling you, based on what I know from the Lord, don't do it.
It's Eugene Robinson of the Carolina Panthers with some great advice about why, especially if we can deal with some of the concussion issues, why football can be such an important part of the character and the faith development of our kids. Eugene, when we come back from break, I would love to get your take on this Man Up ministry that you've been a part of, but also just in general, your passion for fathers in our country and the epidemic of fatherlessness. You have some personal story around that as well, and what you see about hope moving forward for men in our country. So more to come with Eugene Robinson next on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings, where we're having a fun conversation with Eugene Robinson, 16-year veteran of the NFL, as well as the current commentator for the Carolina Panthers, as part of our new Faith and Sports segment, in which we talk with professional athletes about their faith, about perhaps their philanthropic work. And Eugene, before the break, we referenced that you've been doing quite a bit of work and have quite a bit of passion for fathers in our country. I listened to a podcast that you had done, and I was really compelled by some of what you had to say and the insights shared relative to the need for dads in our community. So talk our listeners through a little bit about what you see in the situation.
Well, I was just kind of thinking, just kind of to myself right now, can you imagine for we as Christians, Adam, not having a dad, the Lord Jesus Christ and God. Can you just imagine that?
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible talks about that God walked with Adam. He walked with him. We see what Adam's doing. We see that he's naming animals, and we see his intellect, and we see that he's coupled with his wife Eve, and you get a chance to see that, and then when you hear see the sin, and you hear them hiding from God, and you hear God saying to them, Adam, where are you? I already know where you are, but I want to know if your heart still belongs to me. Mm. Can you imagine not having God to be Adam's father during that time? And if we extrapolate that, move that forward, can you imagine a kid growing up with a dad, without dad? Now, I understand from you know, just circumstances where people just, you know, pass away and things of that nature. But when dads some of the time abdicate their role as being father and take themselves out of the house, you leave a major void. You leave a huge void that's in there now. Now you're asking kids to fend for themselves. I think it's almost unfair to ask someone to fend for themselves, to go ahead and be guided and trying to make the right moves and the right steps and without having a blueprint to go ahead and to do that. And so that's one of the reasons, you know, I kind of maybe got involved here with them, Man Up. Mike Thomason, from the head coach from the Pittsburgh Steelers, is a program that they had up in Pittsburgh, is a program that they brought down here in Charlotte. Another good friend of mine, who's a broadcaster for the Tunji Okun for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he himself told me, "Hey, Gene, you got to get involved with Man Up. You got to get involved with Man Up. It's talking about restoring fathers and a movement of getting fathers back in the home if they could get back in the home. And it's about being a father to your own family, being a father to your own community, and where fathers get together." And I thought about this. I said, "Oh my goodness!" Because my own story kind of resonates with that. My dad was a father in the house, but they got divorced when I was 18. And I remember how things were kind of rocky when I was younger. And I kind of remember was sometimes my dad would be absentee, and sometimes he would be present. And having that fluctuation in a child's life, it allows you to go ahead and fend for yourself and make mistakes that sometimes typically you probably wouldn't make if your dad was present. Well, I kind of vowed that I don't want to make those same mistakes, the things that I was subjected to from that standpoint. So it kind of resonated with me. And although my dad has passed away, although I love my father dearly, and I was a part of him becoming a believer and was a part of him actually baptizing my dad later on in his life, I remember how it was a little void and sometimes how I was angry and how I was mad. And from that standpoint, I don't want a child growing up. And too often in the black community where I grew up, in the hood where I grew up, there was a lot of fathers that weren't there. And there was a lot of kids that kind of went their own way and did their own thing. Some of them living, some of them who are not living to this day. So that standpoint, it was an easy thing for me to get involved in. To Man Up. It was easy because it resonated with me, and I wanted to do what I could to help mitigate that and help just erase that, eradicate what we could in this fatherlessness that we see in this kind of like taking not doing your role as a dad or as a husband or as a father to go ahead and be the man in your house. Kids are looking for some direction. I don't care whether it's your daughter or whether it's your son. They're looking for direction. I don't care what you say. You can say it, and you can say it in Spanish. People are looking for direction, and that is part of your office. The greatest office you're going to have is if you're able to father a child. The greatest office you will have is being a dad. That would be the greatest office you would have. That imparts life, and that imparts life that continues to go on and move on and move on. And how you do that and why you do that, it would determine what your son or what your daughter ultimately will go ahead and have to go ahead and cling to or not cling to or mold or shape them. So it's a huge issue for me as far as fatherless is concerned.
No, and it's well said, and it cuts across racial and demographic lines as well in terms of the fatherlessness. And Eugene, you referenced that you are currently a football coach, and I'd be curious, it piqued my interest when I was listening to you on the podcast talk about the fact that we can be fathers in our communities as well. And I know it doesn't entirely take the place of a father in a family per se, but can you talk a bit about your experience about having a fatherly role maybe for young people that didn't have a father in the household, even if you weren't their biological father?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, because I'm a high school coach, so you, as a high school coach, you end up doing it. Coaching is ministry. You just need to know that. Coaching and teaching is ministry, and you got to be called to be a coach, I believe. But as a coach, man, I'm with kids every single day. And I had one of my kids go through a divorce during his senior year. He was one of my best track athletes, and things just weren't going right, and I could tell that something was wrong. And I'm like, I come to my man, I say, hey, what is going on? And he said, Coach Rob, let me just tell you what's going on with my family, this and that, and I'm trying to keep things together. I got young siblings and trying to keep this thing together. And then I got to share my story with them. And I got to share my story with them about, hey, I'm at the point in time where I didn't like my dad, but when I became a Christian, it totally changed how I felt. And God said to me, if I can forgive you for all the stuff that you've done, you surely can forgive your dad for what he's done. And I said, man, I'm going to ask that you let forgiveness rule in your heart as you kind of navigate through this whole process. I said, look, if you need time to take off, if you need to go ahead and not run, if you need to do whatever you need to do, I am in your corner. I said, no doubt about it. I said, and if you're having a bad day and nobody knows, I said, just give Coach Rob a little shout out. Just lift your hand up. Man, you're already excused. You can just go live. Don't even worry about it. You're already excused. And if you need to pray, let's go ahead. We'll go ahead and pray. And so that standpoint, I take my role as a coach very, very seriously because you get to minister. And that's just only one example of how you'd be able to minister while I'm coaching. But there's many examples where I've run across young men throughout this my community who need a helping hand. Quickly, just tell you the story. I helped this one kid while I saw him. He was trying to get a job, but he looks intimidating. This is a young, big black kid. He looks really intimidating. So you see him, you go, oh, this guy's going to be, he's going to take something from me. That's what you would kind of think because he's intimidating, but he's not. And he was trying to get some money. He's trying to find a good job, and he's trying to get some money to take the bus home. So he's asking people for some money to take the bus home. He has to take three buses to get back to where he lives at. And I just came up to him and said, hey, man, what's going on with you, man? What are you asking for some money? What's up? And he said, well, nobody helps people like me. Mm-hmm. Nobody helps people like me. And I said, well, I'm here to help you. And I actually ended up taking him to his house, driving all, it was way over. I drove him about 30 minutes to where he lived. He took buses to get to where I was at. And I gave him some money and whatnot. And that's not even the issue. He said to me, he said, nobody cares about people like me. Nobody cares. He said, why are you even helping me? I don't even get it. And I got him some food that day. I got him some food, and he would not eat the food while we were. I said, why don't you eat the food? He said, no, because I need to go ahead and bring this home to my mom, too. So he wouldn't even eat the food. I said, dude, I got you, man. I said, let's go get some groceries. I got you. Man, it's a shame to have people that he would even be in that predicament and even that situation while he's trying to get a job. And by the way, it was bone-chilling cold out there, and he had on summer clothes.
I mean, Eugene, that is the kind of story right there when we're talking about being fathers in our community. That's definitely going to be our highlight for the weekend show coming up. Just thinking about, you know, as coaches and as parents and as teachers, what we can do in ministry. We're out of time this morning, but I really appreciate you coming on and just giving our listeners a sense of what we can do. And I guess we're in Vikings country here, Eugene, but go Carolina for the upcoming weekend.
Hey, man, look, I grew up a Minnesota Vikings fan. Fran Tarkenton and Chuck Foreman were my guys, and Chuck Foreman is the reason why I started to play football.
I love it. Hey, thanks for joining us, Eugene. Have a great week ahead.
You guys, take care.